said, we've heard the scriptures read in the original Hebrew. We had clarinets and flutes and instruments I can't even pronounce, and guitars and brass and all sorts of great things. And now we come to the living word. Good morning.
Good morning.
Bilbo Baggins said to Gandalf the Wizard in the first chapter of his extraordinary book, The Hobbit. What do you mean? Asked Gandalf of Bilbo. Do you mean it's a good morning? Do you mean to wish me a good morning? You say it's a good morning whether I want it to be good or not? Do you say you simply feel good this morning? Do you say it's a morning to be good on? All of the above, said Bilbo, not wishing to get into an argument with a wizard. But then Gandalf starts talking about adventures and needing someone to go off on an adventure. And Bilbo pipes up, good morning. We don't need any adventures around here, thank you. And Gandalf says, what an interesting way you use the word good morning. Now you want to get rid of me and it won't be a good morning until I leave. Ours is a culture, as is every culture, that uses certain phrases and catchwords to lubricate personal interaction. Words like please, thank you, goodbye, God be with you. And you might argue we use these phrases so reflexively, so frequently, that they lose their meaning. And there may be some truth to that, and yet I tell you, you notice their power in their absence. You notice their power in their absence. When certain phrases are omitted and fall into disuse, something important to a culture is lost as well. I think we are in danger of losing an important phrase common to our culture, the phrase, you're welcome. In common use, particularly among the younger generation, the word, you're welcome, has been replaced by the phrase, no problem. Somebody does something very nice to you, you say, thank you, and they reply, no problem. Now, I'm curious, what does no problem mean? Does it mean when they have done some kindness to me, they did it because it was no burden to them? Are they implying that if it was a burden to them, they wouldn't have done it? Or maybe it really is a genuine statement of humility. I don't mention it. You've done something, you say thank you, but don't mention it. But if so, that's a very misguided use of the phrase, because essentially what you're saying to me is, don't be grateful for my kindness, or if you are, at least don't express it my direction. No problem. All right. Maybe I'm just getting to be an old curmudgeon. But I think, that when a phrase like you're welcome vanishes from our common parlance, that something is, that leaves a vacuum in the modern soul. The Apostle Paul, one of his great acts, was trying to collect a hunger offering for the destitute Jerusalem church. Paul dealt mostly with Gentile Christians, but the Jewish church in Jerusalem was virtually all Jewish Christians. They were experiencing severe famine, and Paul was determined to create a great offering for them. And he wrote to his friends at Corinth and said to them, each one of you must do as you have made up your mind, not under compulsion, not reluctantly. God loves a cheerful giver. But then he adds, you are enriched in every way by your generosity, which results in thanksgivings to God. For by your rendering of service unto others, you not only supply their needs, but it overflows in thanksgivings to God. Now that statement is sufficiently complex to admit of two meanings. Paul could be saying to his friends at Corinth, when you give generously to a hunger offering to allay the need of those Christians in Jerusalem, they will erupt in thanksgivings unto God. But more probably he means, when you give out of your generosity to allay their hunger, they will erupt in thanksgivings not only unto God, but also unto you, which gives you the chance to erupt in thanksgiving for the opportunity of being able to serve them in their need. Now, just an aside. Paul is not writing the Corinthian church asking them to give so the church in Jerusalem will thank them. We never do anything generously out of love and compassion, expecting to be thanked. No one should get their nose out of joint when they do something nice and don't receive a thank you note. Nevertheless, young people, you need to write them anyway. Paul is saying to the church at Corinth, it is your privilege. It is your privilege to meet them. You're not giving so they will thank you. It is your privilege to meet their need. You should always desire as Christians to meet the needs of anyone, but especially other Christians in severe crisis. So too, when we give of ourselves, when we give of our love, when we give our generosity, when we give of our service, we do so not expecting to be thanked. If we are thanked, it is icing on the cake, icing and nothing more. We are just grateful for the chance to give of our resources to help someone else as an expression of our faith. That brings us back to that phrase, you're welcome. Your welcome expresses something profound that no problem cannot come near to communicating. When we do something kind for someone and they say thank you, and we say you're welcome, we are responding to their gratitude for being served with our gratitude for being allowed to be of service. When they are thanking us for our blessing and we respond, you're welcome, we are saying from the depth of our souls, it is our privilege to be a blessing unto others. You're welcome. See, I have a theory that no problem really covers a lie. When somebody says, no problem, I suspect there is a problem. I suspect that maybe they really do begrudge doing the act of kindness. They really do resent being giving and generous and serviceable. When they say no problem, it hides the fact that they really don't enjoy giving of themselves because it doesn't bring the good vibes they thought it would. No problem says to me that somebody does what they do out of duty, not out of joy and love. You're welcome. You're welcome says to someone who has thanked us, I thank you for letting me serve you. You're welcome. Now, I have been in the houses of many of you, not all of you yet, but many of you, and many of you have these lovely welcome mats. Do you know where the word originates? It's Old English, from will, meaning pleasing or desired, and kuma or comer, guest. A welcome mat says to the one standing on it, you are our welcome, our desired, our good and desired guest. You are our good and desired guest. Welcome. Now, Melissa and I, like many of you, are preparing our house for an invasion of loved ones and visitors. And we're cutting grass and raking leaves and trimming shrubbery and scouring the house. What if we put a mat on our door for our visitors to see that said, no problem. No problem. That would be the exact opposite of what we feel. Yes, cutting grass and trimming hedges and raking leaves and all that is time consuming, but we consider it a privilege to have these loved ones and friends and church members in our home. It is our delight. And thousands upon thousands of homes are doing the same thing as a way of saying to those who enter in, you are our good and desired guest. Welcome. That brings us to why we must resuscitate the use of this phrase. It's not just good manners. It's not even just our expressing our gratitude for being able to serve. The phrase, you're welcome, mirrors the fundamental attitude of God toward us. It mirrors the fundamental attitude of God toward us. Your welcome is the primordial word that the divine creator says unto all of us. You are welcome. Paul put it so beautifully when he said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet estranged from God, God said, you're welcome, long before we could ever utter the words, thank you. Our God is a welcoming God. Jesus portrays God as the king who sets a lavish banquet table for his people and then sends his servants out in the highways and byways to tell everyone, come in, come in, you're welcome. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my heart is lowly and gentle, and you will find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Our Christ spreads his arms out and says unto us, you're welcome. When Jesus was trying to explain the character of God, he tells the story of a young man who cast off the many advantages of his father's household and went off into the far country and lost his inheritance in riotous living and finally at long last came unto himself. and return back to his father's house full of iniquity and remorse. And his father cast aside all dignity and runs down the road and throws arms around him and says, "You're welcome. You're welcome as a son back in my house. My son who was dead is now alive." What an image of the welcoming character of God. When we say the words, "You're welcome," all we do is echo the welcome that our Creator has said unto us. Ephesians 2 says, "Christ came and preached peace to those of you who are far off, and he preached peace to those of you who are near. And through the Spirit, all of us have access to the Father. And through him, you are no longer strangers. You're no longer sojourners. Rather, you are citizens and members of the household of God." I read on the internet that the phrase "you're welcome" originated in the early 20th century. That is why you do not believe everything you read on the internet. I was reading Othello by Shakespeare, published in 1603. And a man says to Desdemona, "I thank you for your kindness." And she says, "Your honor is most welcome." The phrase goes back centuries because it's rooted in the human breast in a response to the welcome of God. You and I are no longer strangers and sojourners. By the grace of Christ, we are members of the household of God. And so a sermon about your welcome ends up saying thank you, urging us to say thank you to the God who has said to us, "You're welcome," before the foundation of the world. Let us say thanks. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May we pray together. Lord, we rejoice that you welcome us, that you have made us not strangers or sojourners, but your children. You have put out the welcome mat for us to say, "Come into your house, the banquet table is prepared." May we come and may we live with an eye to finding others who need to hear that same welcome and to respond. Through our Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Even as the Spirit of God has challenged you, we offer an invitation. An invitation in response to the welcome of God. You are welcome to come claim Christ as Savior and Lord. You're welcome to come splice your life into the life of this community. Come, you're welcome to join us by transfer of letter or statement. Come, be family with us, not strangers or sojourners, but family in the household of God as we stand and sing together.